Hello, I'm Emily Yassarian. I'm the Graduate School Network Manager.
Hi, I'm Agnes Chaika. I'm a lecturer in the Politics Department, and I'll be facilitating the first session of Citizenship Studies.
Thanks. Could you tell us something about what the session is about?
Sure. The first session is called Genealogies of Citizenship. It's an introductory session, so the aims of the session are fairly straightforward. The first aim is to provide a broad overview of the field of citizenship studies, which is a relatively new field of study, and also one that is quite interdisciplinary. Now, the second, more substantial aim is to offer an introduction both to classical and to contemporary ways of thinking about or approaching citizenship. Now, the title Genealogies of Citizenship speaks precisely to the second aim. It says something about the development of citizenship as a concept and the development of our thinking about what citizenship means and what it entails. So you will notice, for instance, that we're not talking about genealogy in the singular, but genealogies in the plural. That's because there is no single way of thinking about citizenship, and there is no single trajectory through which citizenship and thinking about citizenship develop historically. Arguably, there's not even a single point of origin at which citizenship comes into being or develops as a practice or an institution. So the session basically takes you on a bit of a stop whistle tour of ways in which citizenship was thought about and enacted in ancient Greece, in the Roman Republic, in medieval cities, but also outside of Europe and the West.
And could you say something about why this is important?
I think one thing that is important is to recognize that citizenship has not always been thought of or practiced in the way that we practice it today. It was not always, for instance, associated with the nation state or with nationality. It was not always associated with or documented using a passport. Passports, of course, are themselves a relatively new invention, and in the past they had little to do with citizenship status. Citizenship was also associated with different rights and with different duties at different points in time and in different places. It included and excluded different kinds of populations. And I think it's important to understand these differences so that we see that the kind of citizenship regime that we have today is by no means the only possible one or the natural way of thinking about and practicing citizenship. Now, the second thing that I think is important is to recognize that citizenship is not necessarily a Western invention. It's not something that the West has or had a monopoly on. And thinking about genealogies of citizenship in the plural actually allows us to open up the concept of citizenship and recognize that there are a variety of different ways in which citizenship has been and continues to be practiced and understood around the world.
And could you give us any examples that could help us understand those ideas?
I alluded to a few examples already, such as citizenship in ancient Greece, for instance. We often think of ancient Greece as the origin, not just of citizenship, but actually of modern democratic citizenship. But that's not quite that simple. In fact, citizenship in ancient Athens was very exclusive. Only a small portion of Athenian men were citizens, and therefore could have the right to a say in the governance of the city. Now, what's more, citizens were not actually all equal either. There were different categories of citizens, they had different rights and different responsibilities. And these categories, rights and responsibilities, changed all the time. They were debated, they were contested, they were struggled and fought over, even within the single temporal and geographical space of ancient Athens. So looking at citizenship genealogically allows us to see all of this, because thinking about citizenship genealogically doesn't allow us to take for granted that citizenship has a single meaning or definition, or that it is something that is relatively stable and unchanging.
How can we apply what we learn from this to our doctoral work?
Well, that's an interesting question. The session obviously gives you an overview of the emergence and the contours of citizenship studies as a field, and obviously that will be useful to anyone planning on writing a thesis that's situated in or somehow related to the field of citizenship studies. The overview of the emergences and the historical developments of citizenship would also be useful in that way. But more broadly, genealogy is actually a particular social historical research method. It's often associated with the work of Nietzsche and more recently of Foucault. So even if your thesis doesn't touch on citizenship, this session might be of use if you're in any way interested in using critical social or social historical research methods in your work, or indeed if you're interested in discourse analysis, because genealogical thinking and the way that we discuss it in the session is often also closely intertwined with critical discursive research methods.